This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
This is continuing coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Your Honor, just for ease of maintenance, may I approach and handle
yes.
this an unredacted version?
Yes.
Same thing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. If you look on the left column, Ms. McCabe.
Yes.
You'll see something that says Apple ID.
Yes.
Look to the right of it. Do you recognize that unredacted portion? I don't want you to read it out or anything. You recognize that?
Yes.
Whose Apple ID is that?
That's mine.
Okay. If you look, six lines below that, there's a full phone number. Again, don't read the phone number out. Tell me if you recognize it.
I do.
Whose is that?
That's mine.
Okay. May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
I'll take the unredacted copy back.
Okay.
So we don't get it mixed up. Does this appear to be a Cellebrite extraction of your phone records, your Apple ID?
Yes.
Okay. And you recognize, without telling me what it is, you recognize that phone number as your phone number back at the time and the Apple ID back at the time.
Yes.
Associated with the phone that you then turned in to law enforcement, correct?
Correct.
Okay. You've just looked at the extraction report for John O'Keefe's phone, and you saw those calls between your phone and John O'Keefe's phone after going from 1214 after that all the way up to 1250. Correct?
Correct.
Take a look at the last couple of pages, page 3 and 4 of your own cell phone extraction report. And tell me if you see a single call listed between you and John O'Keefe for January 29th between 1214 and 1250. Thank you.
There are calls to a number that I'm assuming is John.
What
time? I'm just not sure. I see a call. Wait a minute. This report has times everywhere.
Right. It's chronological except for the calls that were deleted. You see a call at 5:52 to John O'Keefe's phone.
I see a call at 5:52, yes.
But there's not a single call before 5:52 a.m. between 12:14 and 12:50 a.m. Is that right? Not one.
It's very hard to this report jumps time-wise.
Well, you can look at every single time on the report. There's not that many.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to say that it goes from 7:21 to 5:52 to 7:33 to 7:49. There's no order. They're out of order.
I understand that, Ms. McKay, but if you look at every one of the entries, there's not a single entry for 12:14, 12:18, or any of the subsequent 12:29, any of the subsequent phone calls that are all shown on John O'Keefe's phone extraction. Would you agree with that?
Correct.
May I approach?
Yes.
Thank you. Your Honor, I would move for the admission of NN as an exhibit.
Okay, is there an objection?
No, Your Honor.
May I inquire, Your Honor?
Yes.
The fact of the matter is, according to those Cellebrite records and that extraction from your own phone, every one of the calls that you made to John O'Keefe's phone between 12:14 and 12:50 a.m. was deleted and unrecovered, correct?
I didn't understand that report, and I'm not an expert.
When you compare the two, you saw a bunch of calls on John O'Keefe's phone, right? You know, he couldn't have deleted them. He passed away, right?
Correct.
You saw your cell phone extraction, which is the handshake for John O'Keefe's phone, and all your calls are missing, right?
Objection.
Can you answer that question?
I'm confused. That paper, I don't understand it. It was vague. There were numbers. There were calls everywhere. There was a number of missing calls.
There's a bunch of missing calls, right? You didn't see any of the calls that were reflected on John O'Keefe's phone. Is that right? Yes or no? They're not there.
A lot of calls are missing. I'm not really even sure what's there because the numbers are all, it's all redacted.
So the you were not seeing any redacted calls, Ms.
The page you just had in front of me was redacted.
It's now an exhibit.
It's now an exhibit. Your personal information was redacted. None of the calls were redacted now.
The numbers. I don't know people's phone numbers. I just have them as contacts.
Ms. McCabe, you just said a second ago, and we can do this all day long, or we can just make it simple. The fact of the matter is that report did not show any of the calls that John O'Keefe's phone report showed, correct? From 12:14 to 12:50.
I believe there was one on there.
5:52. That's mm-hmm. The next morning, ma'am. Right?
Were there other calls in that time period on the Cellebrite?
You just said there weren't. You just looked at it.
I've told you that Cellebrite report was extremely hard to read.
Right. Mm-hmm. Fact is, there are no calls on your own phone extraction between you and John O'Keefe between 12:14 and 12:50. Would you just agree with that, at least on that report?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
The fact is that you deleted your call record before you turned your phone in, didn't you, Ms. McKay? That's what that report shows.
Absolutely not.
You sanitized your phone because you didn't want the police to know who you had been calling or the fact that you had been calling John O'Keefe's phone incessantly, correct?
Incorrect. I willingly turned over my phone.
After you deleted your phone call logs, correct?
Absolutely not.
What date did you turn your phone over?
Possibly February 3rd.
How many days after this incident was that?
4 or 5.
So you had plenty of time to talk to that friends and family group and ultimately decide to delete your phone calls, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
Did you ever have any group chats with family members who are witnesses in this case?
Yes.
May I approach you on?
Yes.
Flip through those. Well, Mr. Lally is looking through that packet. Can I just ask to make sure the record is clear? Did you delete any of your calls before you turned your phone into law enforcement?
I spoke with the two officers that I handed my phone over to, and I asked if I could delete the personal conversations with my daughters. And they said absolutely yes, that I could.
So other than calls with your daughters that you deleted, did you delete any other calls on your phone? At all.
There were text messages. It was actually text messages with my daughters that I deleted, and that was all I deleted.
Did you delete any phone calls?
I do not recall deleting any phone calls at all. I would have no reason to delete anything.
So that's very different than I didn't delete any phone calls. I do not remember deleting phone calls. It means you might have.
In day-to-day life, people delete things, but I do not recall deleting any phone calls.
In day-to-day life, did you delete any of the calls to John O'Keefe?
No.
Did you delete any of your calls with Nicole Albert?
No.
Did you delete any of your calls with Brian Albert?
No.
With Chris Albert?
No.
With Julie Albert?
No.
Colin Albert?
No.
With any of the witnesses in this case, did you delete any calls before you turned that phone over?
No. No.
May I approach that?
Yes.
Ms. McCabe, I'm handing you a packet of documents. Appears to be about 10 pages long. Do you recognize what's in those documents?
Yes.
You indicated already that you were part of a group chat with certain members of your family and friends?
Correct.
Did that group chat, I'm most interested in the group chat between yourself, Nicole Albert, Brian Albert, Matt McCabe, on or around that group chat starting on or around February 1st, 2022?
Okay.
Does that look like a true and accurate reflection of the text messages between, or certain of the text messages between and among that group?
Yes, the ones I've seen, yes.
On
can you just tell me what page you're on? I'm sorry.
Of course, Your Honor.
The bait stamp number?
2148.
Okay, thank you.
Start.
Thank you.
And they should go relatively chronologically, Your Honor, page
okay.
by page. On February 1st, 2022, around 2:15 in the afternoon, on this group chat, did you receive a message from your husband on the group? This is on page 2148. And it should be the middle bubble. The middle and the bottom bubble. Quote, Julie said channel 4 is in DE. You see that?
Yes.
And the response from Matt McCabe is eating, I assume. Quote, ask Chris, to ask some questions. Tell them the guy never went in the house, end quote. You see that?
Yes.
You look at the next page, the top, 149. There's a one-word answer from Brian Albert. What is that answer?
Exactly.
Does it appear to you from this chat that Matt McCabe was directing witnesses, specifically Chris Albert, what to say to the news media?
Objection.
I'll allow that. Is that what you're seeing?
That is not how I would understand this.
He never went in. Tell them he never went in the house was the story that had been concocted between and among this group of people on this chat, correct?
Objection.
I'll allow that.
No. John never went in the house. It wasn't a story. It was the truth. And it is the truth.
Just like she said, I hit him.
Correct.
So according to this chat, at least, the very base level, this is one witness telling another witness to give certain information to the media that could be useful to the group, correct? Tell them the guy never went in the house, right?
Objection.
Sustained.
Matt McCabe was directing Chris Albert. Chris Albert wasn't even at the house, was he?
Chris Albert was not at the house, no.
But this chat is Matt McCabe, your husband, telling Chris Albert, who was never at the house and would have no personal knowledge of what happened at the house, to specifically say, the guy never came in the house. The guy, by the way, being John O'Keefe. Right?
That's what he wrote.
Does that sound to you a little bit like collusion?
Objection.
Sustained.
At some point, you sought out Carrie Roberts' cell phone number shortly after the 29th, or maybe not, maybe on the 29th, correct?
Correct.
You didn't have her cell number in your phone?
No.
One of your primary concerns was to make sure that you got in contact with Carrie Roberts before the day's end, right?
I wanted to speak to Carrie as she was on her way to the hospital, and I wanted to check in on John.
One of your primary concerns, Ms. McCabe, was that you wanted to make sure you got a hold of Carrie Roberts and had communication with her before the end of the day.
It had nothing to do with getting in touch with her by the end of the day. It was a friend reaching out, wondering how her friend was doing, who was just taken off the front lawn.
On the 29th?
Yes.
So before the end of the day, Ms. McCabe, you can do this all day long. Before the end of the day, you were trying to get a hold of Carrie Roberts, correct?
Immediately in the morning, I wanted to get in touch with her.
Right. So you sought out her phone number. First you tried my client, Karen Reed, correct?
Correct.
But then you found another source for that information. Is that right?
Correct.
And you said just a second ago, you were claiming that you needed that information because you knew that she was on the way to see John O'Keefe's parents?
She was picking them up.
And you wanted to check on them?
Correct.
You've been friends with the O'Keefe family for years, haven't you?
Correct.
So you didn't have a need to get Carrie Roberts' phone number, did you?
I wanted to speak with Carrie, see how she was doing. I was not going to call Peg.
You had her phone number, didn't you?
I do, yes.
So if you wanted to check on somebody, could have just called her.
I was not going to call Peg O'Keefe on the way to see her son at the hospital.
To check on your friend? That was just too much.
I wanted to ask Carrie. I'm sure she was boggled down and probably did not want to speak with anyone. It was a simple thing. I made sure I got Carrie Roberts' number so I could check in and see how John was doing. Also, we had just been through an extremely traumatic event together. There's nothing evil here.
Carrie Roberts' number, Ms. McCabe, is because you wanted to make sure that you controlled her story as she left your site, correct?
Absolutely not.
Did you take any steps whatsoever to influence Carrie Roberts' statements?
No.
Because that would be collusion, wouldn't it?
Objection.
Sustained.
Did you write a text to the group, including Brian Albert, Nicole Albert, and Matt McCabe, where you informed them that, quote, and this is, Your Honor, on page 2158, where you informed them, quote, Carrie is here going over timeline, end quote.
Correct.
So you reported back to Brian, Nicole, and Matt that Carrie was where?
She came over my house.
And you two sat down and went over a, quote, timeline together.
Peggy spoke to Carrie.
Yes or no? I didn't ask about Peggy.
Well, that's where the timeline started at.
Did you ask Carrie, or did Carrie come up, show up at your house and, quote, unquote, go over a timeline with you?
Carrie showed up asking to sit down with me to do a timeline so we would remember everything that had happened.
And you wanted to be super helpful about that, right?
Objection, Your Honor.
Ask it differently.
Sure. You wanted to be helpful to Carrie Roberts.
The two of us were trying to figure out what had happened to our friend.
And so you made sure that you created and drafted with Carrie Roberts a timeline for her, correct?
I didn't make sure of anything. She was the one that asked me to do it.
And not only did you create a timeline, you then reported back to your group, Brian Albert, Nicole Albert, Matt McCabe, that she was creating this timeline with you on February 1st, 2022. Isn't that right?
Yes.
After you created or drafted this timeline with Carrie, she actually sat for an interview with the police, did she not? That's not in the chats. I'm just asking. She sat down for an interview with the police, didn't she?
When?
You tell me. It's my question.
I'm not sure of when you're talking about.
Okay, let's start over.
Yes.
After this timeline was created on February 1st,
mm-hmm.
at some point thereafter, Carrie Roberts conducted a formal interview with the police about this case, correct?
Do you have the report of that date?
We're sort of burying the lead. She did the interview in your living room, ma'am. Right?
There was, on Tuesday, two officers came to the house and she sat in the other room and spoke with them.
So, using my question, she did the interview at your house.
Oh, they came to my house to interview me, and she happened to be there, so they asked if they could speak with her also.
Okay. Did she or did she not do an interview at your house?
Did, yes.
That wasn't that hard. You were present for that interview, weren't you?
I was eating dinner.
You were present for the interview, Ms. McCabe.
I was in the house, yes.
And you listened to that interview, didn't you?
No, I did not.
You made sure you gave Carrie Roberts everything she needed for that interview, correct? Quote, everything she might need for that interview, didn't you?
And where is this that you're quoting from?
I'm asking you.
Oh, I'm sorry. When you quoted, I thought it was in here. I apologize.
We'll get to it in a second. Did you tell her everything that you wanted her to say?
No, I did not.
Did you in any way attempt to influence her testimony before she gave that interview in your living room?
Absolutely not. Carrie is her own person.
But then you did report her progress to the Albert and McCabe group in that group chat, didn't you?
Can you show me where, please?
Sure. Isn't it true that in a group text with Brian Albert, Nicole Albert, Matt McCabe, you wrote, and this is on page 2159, quote, and we handed Carrie, sorry, and handed phone to Carrie. You remember that?
I see that, yes.
And the very next text is from you telling the group, she's telling him everything in all caps, two exclamation points.
Yes.
And then you went on to say at 2:55 p.m., basically the same moment, quote, all this stuff, end quote. Correct?
Correct.
So when you said a couple of minutes ago that you weren't listening to what she was saying, that was a lie, wasn't it?
We're talking about two different interviews. I'm talking about when the officers came to my house and spoke to her there. You're saying that I handed the phone over, so that would be a different interview.
McCabe, this is on February 1st at 2:55. I wasn't there. You were there. She was in your house on February 1st giving an interview to the police, wasn't she?
One day she was there giving an interview to the police.
And while she was there...
But I do not believe it was at 2:55. It was later in the evening, so I think you might have two events confused.
So either way, whether she was on the phone with the police or sitting there in your living room with the police, you were listening to her and reporting back to the group, she's telling them everything.
The one... No, it's not correct. The one that she did with the police, she did in the other room. And the one she did on the phone, I said she's telling them everything.
I know.
Because
I know.
Carrie is an extremely blunt person, and she was giving personal feelings about the situation. And I was horrified by it.
To the police.
To the police.
And you're listening.
I heard a statement she said that horrified me.
And then you're reporting it back to the group, weren't you?
That one thing she stated, I reported back to the group, yes.
So you're listening in on a police interview, correct?
It was a phone call.
One side of it, right?
It was a phone call.
You're listening in on a police interview, one side of it, correct?
Correct.
You're eavesdropping on that interview, correct?
I'm sitting with her and she's taking the call.
And then you're reporting that interview back, or her success in that interview, in your mind, back to the group involving Brian Albert, Nicole Albert, and Matt McCabe. Isn't that what you're doing?
Objection.
I'll allow it.
I absolutely not. That is not how it went. I was horrified because Carrie's a blunt person, not like me. And she had made a comment about Miss Reed and Mr. O'Keefe's relationship. And I was shocked and horrified that she said it the way that she did.
You're so shocked and horrified that
I said, oh my God, she's telling them everything. Yes.
You decided it was so important that you needed to report that back to Brian Albert and his friends.
I was horrified.
So you reported that back?
Yes, I said she told them everything.
When you were first confronted with these messages at a separate proceeding in June of 2023, you claimed that you couldn't remember what that exchange was about, correct?
Correct.
And now you just all of a sudden have this newfound memory of exactly what that text message was referring to, correct?
Objection.
I'll allow it.
Yes, because Kerry Roberts said a statement and it jogged. I said, oh my God, that's what I meant when I said she said everything.
When did she say this statement?
Probably in the fall. She has made this statement a few times in reference to Karen.
You and Carrie Roberts are still coordinating your statements together.
Oh, no, we're not. It's just an opinion she has of Miss Reed.
And all of a sudden, that became your, quote, everything, all this stuff.
It didn't just become it. I forgot that I had written it, and one day, Carrie made the statement, and I'm sure it happens to everyone. You forget something, and then you're like, oh, my God, that's what it was.
I'm not sure that happens to everyone.
Objection.
Sustained.
Let me ask you a different question. When you were asked under oath a year ago, when things were fresher in your mind, you were asked specifically what you were referring to, and your answer was, I have no idea, correct?
Correct.
Because you didn't want to tell them that you had coordinated your statement with Carrie Roberts. Isn't that right?
No, that is not right. I did not remember what it was.
Went on to be asked specifically, do you know who you were referring to? And you said, maybe Carrie, maybe. I'm talking to Carrie. And the question was, but you don't recall this text? And your answer was, I don't remember. That's what you testified to a year ago, correct?
Correct.
But now you're talking about some memory of a disparaging comment that Carrie Roberts has about my client. And that's the everything in your mind.
Yes, the things that she was saying.
Quite obviously, what you were referring to in that text in real time, Ms. McCabe, was that Carrie Roberts was telling the police, quote, everything that you had laid out for her in this timeline meeting you had with her, correct?
Objection.
So it's sustained as to that form. You can ask that question in a proper way.
the everything you referred to in that text in real time was what you had worked out with Carrie in that timeline meeting, wasn't it? That was the everything you were referring to, correct?
Incorrect. We never worked together to come up with a story. We have the facts, and the everything was a comment about your client.
You went on in your group chat with Brian Albert, Nicole Albert, and Matt McCade to give running updates about whether or not Carrie Roberts was actually following the script, correct?
Incorrect. There was no script.
167. Matt McCabe texted the group, Brian, comma, sitting separate, end quote, correct?
Yes.
Sounds like Matt McCabe is reporting back to Brian Albert, following your instructions, we're sitting separately.
Objection.
Sustained.
One minute later, Brian Albert had a one-word response to the Brian sitting separate, correct?
Yes.
What was that one-word response?
Okay.
So it sounded like he was giving his approval for where people were situated in that meeting, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
At page 2168, 515.
It's very hard to just look at two texts and try to understand what the context is.
Ms. McCabe, if you don't understand a question that I have, just let me know, but otherwise let me ask a question. On page 2168, at 515, you wrote the group, quote, you listening, correct?
Yes.
And at the same time, 515, you then wrote, cops here again, end quote, correct?
Correct.
That was in reference to the police coming over to your house to further interview Carrie Roberts, wasn't it?
That was when they came to talk to me.
And Carrie Roberts was there, correct?
Was at my house, correct.
And a few minutes later at 5:23, Nicole Albert texts, call us after, correct?
Correct.
And a few minutes after that, Matt McCabe texts, quote, this girl could write a book, ... nonstop, correct?
Correct.
So obviously Matt McCabe, along with you, was listening to Carrie Roberts give her interview.
We were sitting in the kitchen eating dinner with our children, and Carrie Roberts was in a different room, but she was going on and on and on, as she does. Because they were in the other room.
And you could listen.
I could hear voices.
You could hear her interview with the police.
I did not hear her interview. I could hear them talking, but I was sitting at a table with my children eating dinner, getting ready to go to a basketball game.
You then responded to Matt McCabe, I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you responded about this interview you just testified under oath and under penalty of perjury, not hearing anything about, just hearing voices. Your next text was, quote, she is telling them everything.
Yes.
End quote. Correct?
Yes.
So what you said just a few minutes ago about not knowing what she was saying, I could just hear voices, that was a lie.
It wasn't.
Objection.
Sustained.
And a couple of seconds later, Nicole Albert responds, one word, what was her response?
Good.
So in order, those texts say, you listening? You say, you listening?
Objection, Your Honor.
The objection sustained.
At the end of the day, you were eavesdropping on an interview that Carrie Roberts was having with law enforcement in their official capacity, weren't you?
No, I was sitting eating dinner, and some of the things, obviously, I overheard. but I was not eavesdropping. I'm saying there's a possibility if I'm sitting in this room eating dinner and someone's in another room talking, you can hear bits and pieces. Was I eavesdropping? No. Is there some big cover-up story? No.
But why does the cave, does your story, does your testimony keep evolving? A second ago, you said, you told this jury, you said, I couldn't hear a thing. All I could hear was voices, like muffled voices from the other room. She was going on and on about something.
Yeah.
And then when I confronted you with a text message where you said, she's telling them everything, now it's, well, I may have heard a couple of things. Which is it?
No, she was going on and on and on like she does.
And you were listening on and on and on like you do.
I was probably hearing bits and pieces.
Why was it so important to report back to the group that you were happy that Carrie Roberts was saying, quote, everything?
Objection.
I'll allow it.
We had both lost our friend. Carrie Roberts was in shock, as was I in shock. The two of us had all this information that just kept coming back to us and back to us. And it's terrifying when you go through an experience and you're in shock. And Carrie was remembering things. I was remembering things. So I was happy for her that she was piecing it all together and I had pieced it all together, because at the end of the day, our friend was dead and we were trying to figure out what had happened to him together. There was no direction. We were all trying to figure out what had happened, because that's what you do when you lose somebody you love.
Were you happy for her, or were you happy for you and Brian and Matt and Nicole?
For me and for her, because we were going through this together. There was no conversation.
You got the story out that you're trying to get out through Carrie Roberts.
Right? Objection.
I'll allow that.
There is no story. There's facts and truth on this side. There's no story. The story that you've created is not the truth.
Did I create, I hit him, or did you?
That's fact.
A fact that conveniently you didn't mention in your report. To Lank, Proctor, grand jury, right? That kind of fact.
Objection.
Rule.
Is that right?
That is a fact I mentioned. So in some reports, it's there.
The fact is, you wanted to keep very close tabs on Carrie Roberts, didn't you?
No.
On January 29th, if you look on page 2223, did you text the group, quote, Carrie talked to cops and kept it simple, end quote?
Yes.
Okay, it's become a habit for you to keep tabs on Carrie Roberts, isn't it?
Objection.
Sustained.
You'll agree that over and over and over and over again, you're reporting to this tight group, Nicole, Brian Albert, your husband, how Carrie's doing in her stories to the police, aren't you? Over and over and over.
I am telling them what is going on. I wouldn't say it. Well, let's count them. Was there four of them? You're saying over and over and over and over. It's a bit extreme.
I see. So you take issue with the way that I phrase over and over and over.
Well, it's misleading, I believe.
I see. Okay. Well, let me see if I can try this in a non-misleading way, Ms. McCain.
Okay.
So at least one of us, I'll withdraw. Yeah. You consistently reported back to the group how Carrie Roberts was doing with the police, didn't you?
I would update them after Carrie saw and spoke to the police. Again, we were all trying to figure out what had happened to John.
There's yet another text from Brian's wife, Nicole, on January 29th, and this is on page 2226. And she says, quote, we'll get more info tomorrow don't want to text about it, end quote. And then you texted right, correct?
Correct.
What's that about?
Jackson.
I'll allow it.
We decided that we would talk on the phone. My children look on my phone. Her children look on her phone. We were working with the police. I was sharing information and everything that had happened. We didn't want it to leave our little circle because we were trying to figure out what happened, and we're not going to go running around letting people see, oh my gosh, they think this might have happened or that might have happened. It was nothing more than let's not text about it.
So you wanted to keep it, in your words, in your little circle, correct?
Correct. I didn't want it all out there what we had fought had happened. I was going to let the police do their job.
So by definition, the info that Nicole Albert was talking about, that needed to be kept very tight, very secret, correct?
We needed the police to do their job, so we weren't going...
Texts, and Nicole wanted her texts, and the group wanted their texts to be kept secret and private. Isn't that right?
Not secret and private. We just weren't going to communicate certain things over text.
Did you give, or did anybody give you any private information the next day on January 30th?
Didn't even give me private information.
So let me put it in context. That text from Nicole Albert, we'll get more info tomorrow. I don't want to text about it. That was on the 29th. Right?
Okay.
So, did you get additional info on the 30th, the next day?
I have no idea.
Did anything significant happen on January 30th in connection with this case? Any meetings? Any get-togethers? Anything that you can think of?
I went to the O'Keefe's house.
Other than that, anything else?
On the way home, Kerry Roberts' daughter is good friends with Michael Lank. So we dropped her off at Michael Lank's house, and Mike's wife came out of the house, him and Kerry are friends, and she, you know, jumped in the car and was consoling Kerry and asks how the O'Keefes were doing, and, you know, we talked to her.
So you pulled up to Michael Lank's house on the 30th. That's never been reported, has it?
I guess I never thought much of it.
Never thought about reporting the fact that one of the first responding officers on the case working for Canton PD, which is conflicted off the case, you had a meeting with that was unreported the next day?
I didn't meet with Michael Lank.
I see. So you pulled up in the car. Tell me about that again. You pulled up in the car and what happened?
And Lex, her daughter, went into the house.
Okay. And then you just drove away?
No. Michael's wife came out of the house.
Okay. And y'all had a conversation about what?
She got in the car and was her and Kerry are friends, and she was checking on Kerry and, you know, just saying, oh my God, this is so crazy. You know, just checking in on the O'Keefes.
How long did that take?
Well, Kerry's a talker, so could have been an hour.
Could have been an hour standing outside?
Sitting in the car.
Sitting in the car on February 30th. Never came in the house?
Not February 30th.
I said February 30th. January 30th. Never went in the house?
I might have ran in to go to the bathroom.
It's the back end of a blizzard. It's freezing cold outside.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting in the car for an hour?
The car was running, Kerry, and they were talking. It's her friend.
Did you have any conversation before your testimony today with anybody about you going to Michael Lank's house on January 30th? Anybody?
Yes.
Tell me about that. Who was it and when?
It was a couple of weeks ago at the DA's office.
The DA's office had an interview with you, correct?
Not an interview. They just explained this process.
I mean, a conversation? How about that?
Yeah. Yes.
You met with folks at the DA's office. Who'd you meet with?
Mr. Lally, Ms. McLaughlin, Steve Nelson, Trooper Brian Tully, I believe. And another woman. I can't remember her name, unfortunately.
Someone from the DA's office?
Yes.
Beelen?
No.
Lynn Beelen?
No. She's here today. She works with Steve Nelson.
Ah. But an employee of the DA's office?
Yes.
That sounds like a pretty big meeting.
I wouldn't call it a big meeting. There was, what, five of them?
How long did you, five of them, and then you?
My daughter, Allie, came with me also.
The meeting's getting bigger.
Mm.
Anybody else?
No, we both went.
Was Allie in the room when you were, I was going to say interviewed, but you take issue with every word I use, mm-hmm. when you were talked to by the DA?
Allie and I were both in the room when they received, when they went over everything, you know, how this all works, because this is all brand new to us. And then they asked me to leave the room.
You were about to say, and I lost the end of that sentence, when they received what?
I didn't mean the word received.
Did you receive anything?
No. I looked at my grand jury notes.
Now, at this meeting, was anybody taking notes?
No.
You have a bunch of lawyers and DAs, and nobody has a notepad in front of them? Like, notes?
I believe Mr. Lally had a number of folders on the table.
Taking notes?
I do not believe anyone was taking notes. It was a casual meeting to explain this process.
Was that meeting recorded in any way that you're aware of?
No.
How long did the meeting last?
Allie and I were probably in the room, I don't know, approximately 20 minutes. Then I left and they spoke with her, and then I went back in and they spoke with me.
How long did they speak with you?
Honestly, maybe half hour, hour.
And during that half hour to an hour, did they go over with you what they expected your testimony to be?
They never spoke about what they expected my testimony to be. They just showed me some pictures that might be shown. I listened to the 911.
What pictures?
Just of the house and how I'd be asked to, you know, show. Okay, we're going to put a picture of the house and you'll have a laser.
Okay, when we started this conversation, it was because you said, in answer to my question, was anything ever brought up to you about this meeting at Lank's house?
Mm-hmm.
You said yes.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they did talk to you about your testimony. It wasn't just about the process, correct?
I was told, I asked what discovery had been turned in regard to me.
So you wanted to prepare to make sure that you knew what you might be asked on cross-examination, correct?
I wanted to know what was coming, yes.
And you knew that one of the things was coming after this meet. Well, let me ask it a different way. During this meeting, did Mr. Lally tell you one of the things that's going to be coming is you had an off-the-books meeting at Lank's house for 45 minutes? Did he tell you that?
No, that's not how I was told.
Did he tell you that the defense had uncovered a report that established that you were actually at Michael Lank's house for 45 minutes that had never been reported to the defense or the prosecution before the phone extraction had been done? Did he tell you that?
I was told, I was asked, oh, were you at Michael Lank's on the 30th?
So you've had a lot of time to come up with a story about why you were at Michael Lank's, correct?
Objection.
I'll allow it.
I didn't need time to make up a story because I have the truth of why we went.
And the truth, according to you, is you pulled up at Michael Lank's house. The first responding officer and friends of the Alberts had a meeting with him the next day that was never reported to anybody for any purpose.
I
just met with his wife out in the car while the car was running for 45 minutes to an hour. That's your story.
It's not a story, it's the truth. Carrie dropped her daughter off. The wife came out. Carrie is a talker. They started talking. A tragedy had happened the day before.
It is interesting, would you not agree, that the day before, you had this off-the-books meeting at Michael Lang's house. Nicole Albert says, we'll get more info tomorrow, meaning the very day you show up at Lang's house.
Again, I never spoke with Mike Lang at his house. It was not an off-the-books meeting. It was Carrie dropping her daughter at one of her good friend's house, whose husband happens to be a Canton cop. That is what it is. That is the truth.
A lot of coincidences.
Objection.
Sustained.
May I
just
call me on? Yes. That's, by the way, what did Mr. Lally show you in respect of this issue about this meeting at Michael Lang's house?
He showed me nothing.
He just told you about it.
Brian Tully told me.
Okay, what did Mr. Tully tell you, Trooper Tully? What exactly did he tell you at this meeting about this Michael Lang issue?
He said, did you go to Michael Lang's on January 30th? And at first I said, no, I've never been to his house. And then I thought about it and I said, oh my gosh, yes, I did go there. And that was the extent of the conversation.
You said, yeah, I did go there, and he didn't ask a follow-up, like, what the heck were you doing at Michael Lang's house the day after this issue?
Objection.
I'll allow it.
He didn't ask a follow-up like that?
I do not believe he did.
So, Trooper Tully, had you come down for an interview, he confronted you with a fact that had never been disclosed before, to wit, you showed up at Michael Lang's house, and when you said, yeah, oh yeah, hang on, I think your words were, oh my gosh, yeah, I think I did go there. And he didn't ask a follow-up question?
He was there. You're spinning all of this.
Ma'am, I do a lot of things.
Yeah.
I don't spin. There's a judge here to make sure that I don't spin. I'm asking you a question. It's very direct.
I do not believe he asked me a follow-up question.
So that was the end of that conversation about Michael Lang, correct?
Correct.
Mr. Lally didn't have any follow-up questions?
I don't believe Mr. Lally was in the room.
Who else? I thought you said Mr. Lally and Ms. McLaughlin.
They were. They might not have been in the room at that time.
I see. So Mr. Lally just happened to, what, just saunter out?
It was a different time.
So Mr. Lally was in and out of the conversation?
Mr. Lally was not there when this conversation happened.
Well, why is that?
Because I met with Brian Tully, and he was not there.
Is Brian Tully taking notes?
No.
He's a state trooper interviewing a witness, and
he was...
Objection.
Sustained.
The same report that has you at Michael Lang's house also has you picking up Nicole Albert going by 34 Fairview just before you went to Michael Lang's house. You aware of that?
We did not pick up Nicole Albert.
So you went by 34 Fairview, then diverted, and right after you went by 34 Fairview, went directly over to Michael Lang's house. What was the reason that you stopped by 34 Fairview first?
We didn't stop by. Maybe Carrie slowed down, but we did not stop by 34.
So you did a drive by 34 Fairview for giggles? What?
Nope, that's how we get to Michael Lang's house.
If the report shows that you actually stopped at 34 Fairview and then went to Michael Lang's house, would we have another oh my gosh moment?
Nope, no oh my gosh moment. We did not pick up Nicole Albert.
Did anybody else go with you over to Michael Lang's house?
No, it was Carrie, myself, and her daughter.
Your Honor, maybe approach briefly.
Okay. Jurors, we're going to try and go right up to 1 o'clock, okay?
Ms. McCabe, we've talked in some detail about your calls with John O'Keefe on the morning of January 29th. you call that conversation?
Yes.
I want to focus your attention on or about, or at or about 12:14 a.m., moving up to about 12:50 a.m. You have that time in mind?
Yes.
You've seen the Cellebrite extraction from John O'Keefe's phone, which Mr. Lally showed you the other day, correct?
Correct.
And you went through the series of phone calls that were made and that appear on his extraction report, correct?
Correct.
I just want to run through those time-wise very quickly just to orient you, if I can, and then I'll ask you some specific questions about it. There was a call at 12:14 a.m., correct?
Correct.
That was a call that you indicated was answered. You had a conversation with Mr. O'Keefe.
Correct.
There was a call at 12:18 and 47 seconds. That call also was answered by you. John O'Keefe made that phone call, correct?
Correct.
Then there's the 12:29 and 44 second call that you indicated was not answered.
Correct.
And that was a call to you, from you to him.
Correct.
There was a 12:41 call from you to John O'Keefe, correct? That was?
Correct.
There was a 12:41 and 54 second call from you to him, is that right?
Correct.
There was a 12:43 and 19 second call from you to him.
Correct.
12:46 a.m. and 16 seconds from you to him.
Correct.
12:47 and 52 seconds from you to him.
Correct.
And 12:50 and 37 seconds from you to him, correct?
Correct.
You saw in his extraction report that all of those calls after 12:18 were missed calls, correct?
In his report that you showed me?
Correct. In other words, the only two calls that were answered were the 12:14 and 12:18. Everything else was a missed call.
I believe so. I would have to refer to it again because I've seen so many reports.
And Ms. McCabe, according to the extraction reports that you've seen this morning, comparing yours to his, every single one of those calls was deleted off your phone, correct? According to the reports.
According to that report, yes.
Let me ask you another question. Have you ever misplaced your phone?
Yes.
Just in life. Everybody does, right?
Yes.
What's one of the first things you do if you're with your daughter or your husband or a friend and you're in your house and you misplace your phone? What do you do?
I'll ask them to call my phone.
Right. Mm-hmm. Even over and over and over, right?
Correct.
Could be as many as 5, 6, 7 times.
Usually I hear it the first or second time.
You're looking for a buzz or a ring, isn't that right?
Correct.
And you might do that if you're searching for a missing phone, correct?
Correct.
With regard to the calls that were deleted from your phone, you were asked about this under oath at another proceeding, weren't you?
Correct.
And you claimed at another proceeding that you had an explanation for all these missed calls, starting at 12:29, 12:41, 12:41, 12:43, 12:46, 12:47, 12:50. Mm-hmm. You have an explanation for that, right?
Can I see the report?
I'm asking you about your prior testimony.
And I'm asking
about these calls.
Yes, I'm asking, can I see it, please?
I'm asking you a different question. At your other at this other proceeding, mm-hmm. which were under oath.
Yes.
Right? You explained that these calls were what? These missed calls, incessant missed calls. What were they? You used a word. Matter of fact, it's 2 words.
I believe I used the word butt dials.
You claimed that every one of these calls was a butt dial. Is that right?
Yes.
So according to you, you literally butt dialed John O'Keefe's phone 6 times in the span of 19 minutes. Is that right?
I don't remember making any of those calls, so my assumption is I put my phone in my back pocket, and that was it.
When you dial someone by mistake, you hit a button, set your phone down, the phone has to be open, you'll agree with that, right?
Correct.
Can't be locked because it takes several iterations of movement to get a phone open. Face ID or password, right?
Correct.
So when you hit the button by mistake, walk away, that's a butt dial. People call butt dials. What happens with the call?
I assume it goes to voicemail.
Good assumption, because that's exactly what it does, isn't it? You've had a phone for a lot of years, right?
Yes.
It rings and rings and rings until it goes to voicemail.
Correct.
So in order to hang up that butt dial, you have to interact with that phone yet again, don't you?
Yes.
So if you had six butt dials, seven, I think it's seven butt dials, you'd not only have to interact with the phone once to butt dial, John, you'd then have to interact with it every single time to turn off that phone ringer so it doesn't go to voicemail, wouldn't you?
I suppose.
Which makes 14 interfaces with that phone over the course of 19 minutes. Is that right?
I mean, I guess I don't have it all right in front of me, but there were also text messages I was sending, so again, maybe I said, oh shoot, I called them, and then I turned it off.
But your claim is you don't remember those incessant butt dials and those incessant hang-ups at all, correct?
I honestly don't.
So you would have had to forget that you interacted with... By the way, you'll agree that the phone extraction shows that John O'Keefe got no voicemails from you, right?
I didn't look, but...
So that means you would have had to interact with that phone 14 times over the course of 19 minutes at the exact time frame that the Commonwealth suggests John O'Keefe lost his life.
Objection.
Sustained. You can ask that differently, and this will be your last question for today, please.
Yes, Your Honor. The period between 1229 and 1250, which is the exact period that you were, quote, butt dialing John multiple times, that's also the exact period that John O'Keefe was rendered incapacitated. Isn't that right?
Objection.
That's sustained. We'll start up again tomorrow, okay?
Thank you.
All right, folks, so I'm going to want to stay there and walk out with him.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, so jurors, please do not discuss this case with anyone. Don't do any independent research or investigation into the case. If you happen to see, hear, or read anything about the case, please disregard it. Now, tomorrow will be a full day. The forecast is it's going to be very hot. You'll see this courtroom fluctuates. It could be really cold in here, could be really hot in here. So maybe bring a sweater or something. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.
Jurors, closing and leaving your notebooks if you're more eyes and falling.
Mr. Jackson, I don't know if this is yours.
May I approach?
Thank you. Mr. Lally, who else might you have tomorrow?
So Ms. Roberts would be next. Laura Sullivan, Marietta Sullivan, and then I think it would be Mr. Higgins after that.
Okay. All right. It's not likely we'll get through all of those, correct?
Probably not.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow.
All rise for the court, please.
Jim, I'll see you too if you
like. Sure.
More raw courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed is coming up from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
By law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. and conditions apply.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.